CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Ben says it's minus 100 where he is. He says it's so cold. He says it's so cold he can't even speak properly.
Ben, what are you wearing? Is that a? It looks like a clog.
What are you wearing? Okay. What are you wearing? You know, what is that?
It's a beanie of my headphones. I'm so cold. Like, it's okay when I'm obviously sleeping because I have cats like you, Leanne. But now yeah. I've got to wake up and I've got to talk and I've got to be upright and yeah.
It's a funny hat.
No, it's ridiculous. You know, when I used to believe that someone like God was in control of what happened in our lives.
Yeah.
At least I could blame it on him. But I can't blame it on anyone now. What am I supposed to say? Like, oh, God, why are you doing this to us? I've got no one to blame. It's fucking cold. Jesus.
Yeah, it's not that the cold is so bad. It's what you do with the cold. Like, waking up at 6, no, that's an anti-cold behavioral thing.
My God. All right, let me start this properly. So this morning, it's Friday. Yes. We've got Bulelo, we've got Leanne, Ben, we got me. What's going on?
Yeah, it's Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday.
It's Friday.
Sorry,
I just realized this.
I'm. You know what? I was talking to my sister-in-law about this, and she said to me, yeah, the problem with this time of year is like towards the end of July, August, is that you're hot full of winter. Like in the beginning of winter, it's still exciting, you know. Ooh, it's so cold.
Different.
Yeah, and ooh, it's going to be so nice and we make fires and we can get into warm beds and all that kind of shit. And then when you get to this point, you're like, oh, just make it end, make it stop. And I'm sensing that from all of you. Ben says he's lost his Polish genes. I mean, he may have the surname, but he reckons he's actually he's shed his Polish identity somewhere along the way. I mean, you know, it's a Polish surname, but that's about all he's got left. You haven't eaten.
I don't see any nationality anymore, really, because I feel the cold. Yeah, I'm lean, so I'm not really Polish by nature or stature.
No.
I don't even know.
It doesn't help if you're fat. I'm talking on behalf of a friend, but it doesn't help. My fingers are thin. Okay, there's no fat on these, and they're cold. The parts with the fat, the actual fat is cold. So I'm actually at a disadvantage.
That's an interesting scientific thing, because I always thought fat equal energy, and the energy is equal to heat.
But there's no energy going on in here.
She's on fire this morning. Just, Jesus.
It's just pure cold.
And then they've pushed up the electricity prices, those fucking dogs.
Jeez, you know?
You know?
Isn't it meant to be?
I've had to recharge, because I'm on prepaid, because someone a few years ago said, get prepaid, it's the best thing ever. Mm. Firstly, prepaid is more expensive than normal electricity.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, I heard that was a bit of a misnomer.
Secondly, if you run out and you just throw a copper 300 there, it gets used up really quickly.
Yes.
If you're at the bottom of your tier. Also, I have a security guard hat outside my house, which is connected to my electricity.
Mm.
I walked in there the other day. There's stuff going on in there that, besides being a fire hazard, there's something that looks like the back of a fridge. There's an element that's in the shape of like an S, which is stuck on top of a bucket.
Oh my God.
And then there are wires coming out of it that are just, you can see that they just get touched. They just get touched, and then you've got a bit of heat.
Jeez.
Yeah, it sounds like this guy is mining Bitcoin on your prepaid electricity. He's like running four kettles, three heaters, Bitcoin mining machines.
Yeah, Leanne's prepaid electricity, she doesn't even get to use any of it in the house. It gets used up by the security hut long before.
And then someone had the bright spark idea. One of the neighbors said, oh, I popped my head into the hut when I was walking the dogs, and I noticed they had some sort of illegal heating element, which is a fire hazard. But also, you just need to go to Macro, one of the ones that hasn't burned down, and get a plug converter. So you put this plug into the actual socket, and then it reads how much electricity is being used. Are you telling me that these guys are not going to not use that? They're just going to unplug it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Of course, I would. If I was being monitored, I would put in my fridge element that's now a heater without the converter.
Yeah, that's exactly what would happen. Well, I was doing something I haven't done in a while yesterday and Wednesday night, Thursday night, and yeah, so basically the last three nights, or two nights in a row, and then most of yesterday during the day, I was painting again. So I've got a
that would explain why you've been so quiet in the WhatsApp groups, Cliff.
Yeah, I've been painting, which is lots of fun, and you know, you put on some music. And as long as you're dressed warmly, because, you know, I do it in this room, which is not particularly warm. I don't have a heater in there or anything. As long as you're dressed warmly and you're busy, you don't think about the cold. You just get on with it. And Bulelo and Ben, you'll be pleased to know, I have been training every day with weights and doing a proper, like, 2 to 3 kilometer walk every day.
The walking is good.
With the dog,
What are you doing with the weights?
I'm trying to be very disciplined. So I'm doing – they're kettlebells. So I've been doing a lot first of all, I don't use them for everything. So I use a lot of my own body weight for, you know, the calisthenics thing. And then I'll do normal push-ups with the chest. Then I'll do raised push-ups. Then I'll do push-ups on the kettlebells. Then I'll do shoulder raises, these ones. I'll do a little bit of bicep curl stuff, and then I've got two free weights as well. I mean, I don't know what to call these things, but that's basically – so I have a different set of 5 exercises every day, and I do 3 sets of each. And
the way you're explaining them makes it look like old man exercises.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you watched me doing them, you probably would think they were old man exercises. But but I'm feeling pretty damn good, you know, despite all of this misery around me. And there's so many miserable people. Fuck, I'm sick of miserable people. Hey, I don't want to hear from them anymore. They're all so unhappy. I mean, there's never been a time in human history where ordinary people with very ordinary lives have found more to moan about than right now. I just can't handle it anymore. So I'm just quietly getting on with my own thing. I'm ignoring all the other stuff from the outside as much as I can. I mean, you know, I still talk to my friends and family. But mostly I've cut myself out from news and that sort of shit. Don't need it. Genuinely, I don't need it.
Yeah, I mean, just before we get onto that, so are you doing swings with the kettlebells? Because most of the things you spoke about there are quite superficial as you get more advanced.
Well,
but are you doing are you learning the swings?
I watched what you were doing in one of your videos, and I'm trying to concentrate on form rather than just, you know, completing the exercise. No, I mean, it's like, so you're swinging
did I laugh out loud?
So you're swinging them up and under your legs and all that kind of shit too, and kind of trying to get balance at the same time, which I think is really good. But I don't count those as part of the 5 sort of exercises. I'm trying to just keep, you know, you want to keep whatever muscle leanness you've got, which is what I'm aiming at. And at the same time, just by the end of it, you've got to feel like you've done exercise. You've got to feel like, wow, that was pretty exhausting. You know, lunges and squats form part of this as well, which is kind of a regular once or twice a week.
When I had the COVID injection, and I felt like I'd been doing shoulders, but
yeah,
and that's the extent of stiffness that I felt in a long time.
So, Leanne, when you got the COVID injection, did you then ostracize anybody who had a different viewpoint to you? Because you do realize if you don't do that, then it doesn't work.
No, it was all...
You didn't actually get it.
No.
Yeah, you didn't actually get it. You've got to put it on Instagram.
Oh, I see.
And then you've got to violently attack anyone with a different viewpoint to you.
having said that, now the cool guys are the, I'm not getting one, don't tell me what to do. Like, you're also a dickhead, by the way. Like, I don't need to hear from, I'm not, Mr. No. I'm too cool to get one. That's fine. You're also allowed to not get one and not tell me.
But
both of you, that's why both of you must just carry on.
The best answer you can give anyone is, it's none of your business.
Like, I don't need to hear from either of you. You know, I'm trying to get to the shops and maybe see if there's any mangoes left. Shut the hell up, all of you.
I'm just a bit of a stickler for the rules when it comes to things, because, you know, like, what a vaccine is by definition, it's something that provides immunity, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So these current jabs, are you immune from it if you get it?
No, because clearly there are lots of people. Boris Johnson just went into...
Are you immune from COVID?
No, are you though? Because no. You still get it right after you get the jab.
Correct.
So, I mean, can we just give it the right name? Like, I'm all for anyone do whatever the fuck they want, but can we just call things by the right things? I mean, I know like
no, but then birth control should not, or anti falling pregnant pills shouldn't be called that, because you still fall pregnant on them.
But it's still a form of control though.
Okay, well, let's call them COVID control jabs.
It's not birth death pills.
You see, can I tell you what?
No, but I mean, it's just like...
This whole story has just, it's riven families and friendships apart. I just want to play something that my cousin...
More than politics, yeah.
Yeah, more than politics. This is what my cousin Jack put together yesterday for all those people who are desperate to get the vaccine, who disagree with him, because I've heard enough from the people who have a problem with anti-vaxxers. And remember, even if... You don't like this particular vaccine. You get lumped with the people who don't like polio, mumps, and rubella, and all of those, which is nonsense. I mean, you know, I think the smallpox is a problem. I'm just not sure of this one. So here's what Jack has to say about this, and then you can respond. Leanne and Bulelo and Ben, take a look at this.
Yeah, bro, like how are we going to be able to travel for holiday, bro, if we don't get the vax, you know? So I really want to go to, like, you know, like, Italy or Portugal at the end of the year for the holidays, bro. So, like, I rolled up my sleeve because, bro, just being frank, it's the path of least resistance. And, bro, like, let's be serious. Like, the media says you and I have, like, a social responsibility to get vaccinated, bro, to protect the vulnerable and the immune compromised, bro. You've got, like, a social responsibility. See, fuck off, you weak-minded, sanctimonious, virtue-signaling, intellectually bereft,
so there's the other side of the argument.
Oh man, that's good stuff. No, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, I'm just not moved either way. And in fact, the next person that asks me, "Are you vaccinated?" I'm going to say to them, "It's none of your business." That's all I'm going to say, and I'm not going to talk about that anymore.
Or you can just say, "Are you calling me old?"
But even if they do that, I mean, even if I say it's none of your business, it's still going to lead to an argument, right?
Of course, because you're not allowed to say that, Gareth. You've got to say, "Yeah. I ran the first chance I had to get it."
Yeah, like all those people in the mainstream media. It's so exciting.
But it's. These people are fucking making out like they're Ben Affleck about to get in a spaceship with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, why must everything nowadays have to be so fucking dramatic and incredible and important? Like, it's really not. Like, because if we all die, we die. Like, life isn't actually that big a deal.
Because people...
And, like, and we're not even at that level even.
So do you think this is in any way related to this craze that we've had for the last 5 or 6, maybe even 10 years of superhero movies? Because...
Yeah, good point.
I don't see Hollywood producing anything except superhero movies at the moment. All the other movies are just horrible. They're horrible. They're those arty movies that get an Oscar, but nobody watches them. And every movie they've made in the last 10 years, maybe, that's been a box office success has been a superhero movie. I think people are dissatisfied with the human condition. I think they've forgotten what it actually is to be human.
They really are. It's a very good point. But I think there's a couple of parallels here because, like, Hollywood makes these because they're safe, right? They're big budget, they're guaranteed. And also, you can't really offend anybody in superhero movies because there's no nuance. There's, like, good, evil, strong, evil.
Yeah, it's so
evil.
Obvious.
And
it's obvious.
It's so obvious. Whereas, like, if you think about it, it's also like, you know, like, small businesses are really struggling right now, right? As are all the media businesses, and COVID's killing that kind of stuff because big corporations are getting bigger and bigger. So it's almost like in the movies, there's no nuance. There's no, like, corner shops anymore because that takes opinion and
big corporations,
and human stuff.
Big corporations are getting so big, they're so successful at the moment that the owners of them are sending themselves to space because they don't know what else to spend their money on. It's great.
And they're, and they're actually making cock-shaped rockets just to really ram it home. Like, I mean, like, nowadays, if you say anything that's not being regurgitated in the news, you're a conspiracy theorist, right? But yeah. I genuinely believe that Bezos made a cock rocket for more money than it probably would have cost for a normal rocket. Just to really drive home, it's like, I'm a massive dick, and you can go suck it all day. Buy all the shit from Amazon because all the stores have been closed down due to COVID, which I may or may not have been involved in.
But at the same time, this
whole billionaire going to space bullshit. Like,
I love it, though, because they're not spending our money. They're spending their own money, and he made that money legitimately. You bought shit from Amazon. All of us have. Right.
Yeah, but Gareth, a lot of these companies don't pay corporate tax.
Right? They've got lobbyists. Stop being a socialist, Ben. Of course they do.
I'm not being a socialist.
That's not a socialist thing to say.
These people know how to. There's loopholes involved. This billionaire boys club thing.
Nonsense. I'll tell you what happens. So with Bezos, it's easy for me to explain to you. He has not had a tax event in a while. The last time he actually paid himself out for some of the shares that he sold, or when he gave away some shares to his wife, that was the last time he actually had a tax event. The rest of the time, he's not living. He's not, you know, that value that they put on the Forbes list where they say he's worth $100 billion or whatever it is.
That's a technical term.
That's the value of his shares. That's not what he's got in the bank sitting there earning him interest that he doesn't pay tax on. That's the value of his company. In order for him to pay tax for the $100 billion that Forbes say he's worth, he has to sell everything he owns in Amazon, which he hasn't done. The last time he sold a couple of shares, he probably sold them to buy the pieces of the rocket, which for him was petty cash anyway. But then he did pay tax.
Shame.
Remember,
he's really battling.
No, but I'm sick of people saying shit things about the rich because it's thanks to them that we have big screen TVs. It's thanks to them that we have cell phones. It's thanks to them that we have laptops, that we're able to use the internet we do.
These guys invented
all this shit. Now, I don't like their politics. I don't like Jeff Bezos' politics either. I see he gave Van Jones, that guy on CNN, he gave him $100 million because he's a great advocate for racial harmony or whatever. It's just such obvious, what do they call it? It's that thing that almost like virtue signaling, but with money.
Well, wait, we've got until 8.
Well, here's the thing, is that I'm glad that Jeff Bezos is spending his money on this shit. And frankly, it's not my money. I have no right to tell him what to do with it. He wants to make 100 cock-shaped rockets. He can do it if he wants. And he's doing this.
Just start the balls next time.
Cockets.
Cockets.
I hope you're not the first person who came up with that, because that's brilliant.
I think I might be. I haven't seen it anyway.
Anyway,
it's my cocket.
It's not our money, so what the hell do we care what he spends it on? And frankly, I'm happy he's doing it to expand the economy and expand knowledge and experience into a realm that we haven't fully explored yet. Before, the only people who could do that were governments, and guess whose money they were using to make those cockets then? Ours. Okay? Especially if we were Americans or Russians.
We've spoken about this before, about, you know, evolving humans and taking things to the next level. But I'm just not convinced with how these things are going, that space is like, it just seems like a vanity project. Like, you put a cock in space, I don't think you're really furthering the world. I mean, it would be really interesting if Amazon had just released a new sex line, okay, of, like, massive dildos, and Bezos literally put his cockets, and then there'll be like an ad saying Amazon.com new vibrators in stock or whatever.
Yeah.
Then cool. Then at least he's got the humor vote. But a lot of the stuff is just self-indulgent. You know, it's good for them. Go for it. But I don't think it's like that they're putting society forward. We're going to Mars.
Don't you remember all the things that we thought wouldn't happen as a result of men trying to get to the moon and the massive benefits to technology here on Earth? All kinds of advances were made. because we were trying so hard to get men to the moon that we had to solve a bunch of other problems. Now, private space travel is also going to do that. It's going to bring the cost of everything down. It's going to enable people to do technological things that we don't think about yet because they're trying to solve problems. I say it's terrific. What would you rather have him do with that money if it were yours? Would you rather have him buy, I don't know, 16 more Maseratis? Build another house?
No.
I mean, I just don't think
space is a frontier. I think we can do things on Earth. I'm not judging the guy to say that, well, he's stupid.
No, sure.
I just don't think space is this overhyped thing that these guys are now strapping onto. And also, why did he give the guy $100 million for racial harmony? Is he going to make a black cocket now?
Mm. That's the plan.
That's real way.
Black cocket.
How much can you celebrate racial harmony?
Yeah.
And it's interesting to me that Bezos will give a black man on the ground $100 million, but he'll only take whites with him to space. And frankly, he had like a granny.
Oh. Well,
he had a granny there with him who's, I think she was the oldest person ever to go into space. And he had an 18-year-old who's the youngest person to go into space. So at least he's got some age diversity, but he didn't have any black people with him on the rocket. So frankly, I think it's all hollow, Jeff. Okay. So yeah, you're still a racist, Jeff.
Unless you've got a transvestite swimsuit model and a breastfeeding man, you can actually get stuffed, you bigot.
So, Gareth, if you were next in line to... There's an echo.
That's just, you.
It's disappoints pure. Me, really. It just makes me very, very, very sad.
Yes.
But if you were next in line to go into space, who would you put on your team?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at them right now. This would be hilarious. Can you imagine?
Ooh.
Imagine the four of us. Except what you... What I don't want to do, I don't want to go to space. I have no interest in going to space. Let other people do that. It's their thing. Any of you want to go to space? If I gave you a ticket on Blue Origin's next flight or on Virgin Galactic or even Elon Musk's one, which is coming up, would you want to go?
Nah.
I'm so glad you said that because it's totally disinteresting to me.
Mm. I don't want to go with like...
proving flat Earth is wrong.
Yeah, I don't want to go with some dickhead from a marketing company. No. Am I going with an astronaut? If I'm going with an astronaut, and yeah, like Carl Sagan's reincarnated to the space station. Yes, take me. I'm not going with Richard Branson and his third girlfriend. No, thank you.
You've completely missed the story that Richard Branson is an astronaut. That's the thing. Once you have a spaceship, call it astronauts.
That's right.
You've got to keep up with the terminology here.
You're right.
Even though I don't want to go to space, I do think it's quite cool because Ben's right. Like on his tombstone, they could say, you know, billionaire, they could say businessman, they could say father, they could say husband, they'd say all of that stuff, but a lot of people have those on their tombstones. Only a very few people on Earth who can sprinkle in astronaut among their epitaphs. That's quite a cool thing to be able to do. I don't know that a lot of this isn't about ego. I'm kind of on that page with all of you. It's obviously that's part of it. That's the turn on for them. But it's really, you know, how other people spend their money has never interested me. That's why I'm not in government. That's why I don't believe in like taxation to the nth degree, because I don't think if you haven't earned the money, you have no right to say what other people should do with it. And I don't believe governments, of all things, are the right vehicle to deal with someone else's half of someone else's income that they've stolen at gunpoint. That's why I'm like an anarchist about this. I'm not a big fan of tax generally, because look at what it's done for us in this country. The poor and the rich have been ripped off by a bunch of parasites because they thought the government could manage money better than individuals. Who do you really think is going to manage money better? Do you think that Zweli Mkhize, who was siphoning off funds to Digital Vibes, do you think Nosiviwe Maphisa-Nqakula, whose army only woke up on like Wednesday 2 weeks ago, whenever it was when the riots were last week, feels like much longer. Do you think those people who've never earned a cent in their life, by the way, who couldn't make an orange stand at a cricket game work, those people couldn't, and we give them the mandate to take half the money that we earn, and we say, that's bound to work.
Yeah.
I'd rather have Jeff Bezos.
Go ahead, use it.
I'd rather have Jeff Bezos go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this money that I've legitimately earned, and I'm going to spend it on making cockets. Good for him. Rather have that than fucking Cyril, thank you.
Yeah, all day, obviously. Yeah, it's a very good point that you make there, Gareth. Before I go, like, on your tombstone, they can say astronaut or cocket maker or whatever. Mm. But like, I think we've all lost touch of, like, what is the thing that we're saying we're doing? Because right now, we're all just churning in this fucking sour milk shit of life. But, like, we should actually get back to that. So, yeah, cocket or no cockets, like him or don't like him, his dream was astronaut. He'll go and die, and whatever money's left from his third wife, it'll have this great tombstone as astronaut.
Yeah, right. But good for him. What do you want on your tombstone?
I'm ashamed to say I don't have the word with me right now, and that's a massive problem. I need to refocus on this. I do. I mean, it's a real wake-up call because you haven't got that one word. Like you say, like some people, father, I don't want that. But we need this. We need to focus on what that word is. Give us some direction.
Well, I wouldn't mind a sentence. Shit. You know, I wouldn't mind a sentence. Like if my ego wrote the epitaph, it would be something like considerably more interesting than yeah. That would be part of it, but I mean, that's the dream. For whoever passes by my tombstone, I'm fairly confident I could get away with considerably more interesting than you. But another part of me says it should just be really funny. It should just be outrageously funny. It should be like Gareth Cliff died in an embarrassing way and just make people stop and go, ooh, I wonder what happened. That kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm working on this. How about brand
embarrassing? How about just embarrassing?
Yeah, that's also quite good. But I'm working on this.
Embarrassing,
this brand
and the next one's annoying. Mine would be like drunk, and Ben's would be like
Leanne Moll drunk.
Cat dad.
Yeah, cat dad. Yeah. Okay, so what's this course you're on?
No, I'm just saying I've been working on this course where we're looking at like things like brand positioning, and I know it sounds quite wanky, but you put the words together and suddenly you're like, oh, okay, so that's what we do.
Mm.
But like, yeah, this is a worthwhile exercise for humans. It's like work on whatever your tombstone will say at the end of the day. Well, I'm going to do that right now, guys. I'm going to do that.
I remember that when we were going through the ups and downs of kind of trying to create a TV and radio career for me all those years ago when I'd still make an effort with things like my brand, whatever the hell that is. What I'd do is... Mm.
When your tombstone would have said shock doc.
Yeah, well, I mean, not by design. But yes... What Rena, who's much smarter than me about these things, used to make me do is she said, start off with a list of 10 words that you want to describe your position in the world, that you want to describe your contribution to humanity. It could be funny, clever. It could be practical. It could be entertaining, whatever your words are. Start with 10 and then whittle it down to 5 and then whittle it down to 3. And if you can get to 1, then that's masterful. But usually most people can, they can get to 3 and then they stop. But do that and see what you'd want on your epitaph today. I mean, that's a really good project to try in the next couple of days. And let's see what you come back with, because I think there could be some interesting stuff.
Yeah, and if it's just vaccinated, then I don't think you've done well.
Yeah, all right. Have a happy weekend.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.
Ciao.
There's Ben Koparinsky.
Bye, Ben.
Ben Koparinsky-urovich.
It's like, who's that chef from the UK?
Nigella.
Oh, Rick Stein. I couldn't remember his name, and I went to his restaurant, and I really should remember his name.
Oh.
But I called him Rick Steinenbergen Fontaine.
It's
the only way I can actually remember his name.
So you said you wouldn't, it wouldn't be the worst thing if your epitaph was drunk. But Bolelo, what would you like? Because you're so loquacious.
No grave. I like to just burn the ashes.
You don't want a grave.
Throw them into the drop. No. What? Waste more space.
Right.
There'll be 10 billion people.
Okay.
No,
so then
burn the ashes and throw them into the drop.
So you don't actually have a resting place. But then, what would you like in the bibliography of humankind under Bolelo Tinta? What would you like it to say if you could only have, like a sentence or one word?
I've got a really boring answer. So I come from, like, my dad isn't big on, like, ego as, like, a legacy or whatever. It's just, so his, like, big saying is, the world is a better place when people do what they must and they don't expect credit for it. So my conditioning, honestly, and I'm not trying to be sanctimonious, is he lived, he died. You know, like you did what you did.
He did the job.
Who cares what other people think?
He did an okay job of living.
Yeah.
All right.
He lived, he died. And then that's enough.
Lizanne says, Who hurt you, Bolelo?
Oh, God.
Vaccinated, still died, says Bridget.
That's very good.
Yeah.
That's very good.
A lot of people agreeing with your point of view earlier, Bolelo, about Blue Origin and all that stuff. So I suppose...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if you're going to go to space, then make it to do something, to learn from someone cleverer than you. Some other points. Here's Captain S, who says, I think most people don't deny that vaccines work. It's the fear of the long-term effects. The other vaccines have decades of testing behind them. And lots of great-looking, very sensible people.
Listen, if you survived the 80s and all of the tartrazine and MSGs and shit that we put in cans,
that's
you'll
true.
Be okay.
And also, we've cracked the human genome. Like, we've figured out that sort of stuff. So, anyway, let's not go down this rabbit hole. Otherwise, I'm just going to have a horrible Friday. Like, that's not it. We've cracked the human genome. We're going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
You know how we used to have politics-free Friday? I think we should bring back politics-free Friday, and we should also bring back vaccine-free Friday, because that's become the topic.
It's never going to be a thing. We're never going to get rid of this shit. It's part of our lives forever now.
What is up with you this morning? A lot of people commenting, and I mean, you came in hard this morning with the start of the show. You're in a very funny mood. What's happening?
I'll be honest. So there was a problem with my medical aid. this feels really deep. There was a problem with my medical aid payment, and there was a double debit order.
Oh.
And the medical aid got confused.
Oh.
And I wasn't able to buy medication, right? So I haven't been on a lot of my chronic meds.
Right.
And for the first time, I'm actually able to feel things like anger and...
Well, I must tell you, you're a different person this morning, and people are commenting on this. People who listen to the show are saying, like, you're on fire today. So whatever this is, I kind of like this, Leanne. It reminds me of...
So do I, and it's actually nice to feel this way. Like, I'm back on them now, but only, like, 2 days.
Right.
So I might have to check out again.
Mm.
But it's made me question, like... Obviously, I'm just meant to be an angry, opinionated person. Yeah. It also took me back to when women had opinions and when women were just, you know, vocal about things and we would give them an hysterectomy.
Yeah, that's right. That's what they did.
Because they were hysterical.
Mm. That's where the word comes from.
You know, it also reminds me of when my ex-husband used to kick me under the table when I said something that he didn't like in front of other people. Hmm. And that's kind of what medication does. You know, it just numbs everything.
You in this bandwidth rather than like that bandwidth. So you can feel the extremes a little more. Listen, I'm telling you that we are... A lot of what we're experiencing in society now, where everybody's super triggered and sensitive and they expect the whole world to fit their idea of what the world should be. And, you know, it's me all the time. A lot of that comes from the fact that so many people are on antidepressants and other kinds of psychiatric medicine. I'd love to talk to Dr. Hanan about this at some point, because I think they're oversubscribing this stuff. Bolelo, what does your mom say about this? Because she's a psychiatrist. I mean, do they oversubscribe? Would they say 1 in 3 people is on some kind of psychiatric medicine? That's too many.
I don't know if it's unique or not. I'm talking like I know all the psychiatrists in the world. But to get medicine out of my mother, you need to almost be ready to be put in a straitjacket. She is not a proponent of it. She is not. To get medicine out of her, and I don't know how other psychiatrists work. I've never seen one, but she is not just going to kind of dish it out. She finds it revolting. She's quite a hardcore scientist in that sense, because she knows what's in those drugs, and she's a health nut. People think I'm a health nut. She is properly a health nut. So she hates giving pills to people. So she's more of a bedside
manner. Maybe I should see her.
Well, if you want to drive to Limpopo every day.
To Limpopo, yeah, sure. Sure.
I mean, so Carl and Lizanne are both making the comment about how fiery you are this morning. We like it. Soon she will rip out her e-toll tag. I mean, you're rebellious this morning, too. Carl says, Leanne, your dose is too high. Harvard, dude, take the edge off, but still tune the Oaks shit. Well, I'm not going to suggest that you do that.
That's a good idea.
Well, if you think so.
Because I'm on like a triple dose. Maybe that's a bit much.
Eldridge says, this is interesting, Eldridge says, personally, medication doesn't solve the problem. You as an individual should understand how your body functions other than just accepting what the doctors say.
We call it symptomatic healing, yeah. It's a big part of our society. It's an issue.
Same thing as ADD in kids, says Captain S. Is your kid a kid? Here is some Ritalin. No, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing with children now, right?
Yeah.
Eleutheria says, I'm on a low dose of psych meds for something else, off-label use, and since found out every second person I know is on them. Yeah, I'm telling you, this is a big thing, hey? People are all over this.
It's quite scary. It's quite scary. It's the same as vets, prescribing your animals all of this fancy food.
Yeah.
They themselves are trained about what to feed your pet by these companies.
Mm.
I mean, that in itself is a problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no one coming from the carrot company and the raw meat company to tell them what to feed pets.
Right.
They're all coming from manufactured food companies.
And the same is true then for humans, because you go into a doctor's office and you see the pen that they're writing out your prescription with has got some branded pharmaceutical crap on it. The little folder on their desk has got a pharmaceutical company logo on it. The chart on their wall, which
the tissue box,
everything in the doctor's office is some gimmick, some gadget, some gizmo from a pharmaceutical company who's clearly. Like, that's a lobby group, essentially, and the parliament is your doctor. And I know that this doesn't affect the way most doctors actually prescribe things, because they'll take that stuff and then they won't necessarily use the drugs. They won't prescribe the drugs to their you know, patients. Across the board, that's probably true. But these guys creep in everywhere, and they do. Like, the dog food example is a really good example. They start to influence the stuff we use.
Mm-hmm. And we know this. I didn't think we'd go there, but he who pays the piper plays the tune, and we are headed that way with medicine, and it's very scary for me. Very, very scary where we head. Like the fact that, Leanne, you're saying, did you say 2 out of 3 people are on something? Like, that is so scary.
One in every three.
I think that's 33%.
So it means
33% of our society.
It means if you bump into two other people today, one of the three of you is probably on something. That's a lot.
I find that unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also, I mean, I have a rudimentary understanding of what's in there. But when I talk to, and my mom's pretty like chilled out. But when she starts to talk about that, I can actually see her when she talks about the stuff that's in there. And I go, is this what people are putting into their body? It's not. I will, man, I don't know what I'd have to do. But Leanne, would you like, are you a completely different person? I mean, we've seen a highlights package this morning, and it is box office, by the way.
She's not a different person. I mean, I can say this because I've observed and interacted with her every morning for like almost 11 years nonstop, right? Easily.
Mm.
You could say that. You, it's not like you're a different person, but I like a bit of the edge on you, because you tend to be a lot more outspoken. You're not as nice and friendly and sweet and docile. You're a lot more kind of, you remind me a bit more of the person that you were when you didn't give a shit and you weren't really interested in other people and you were enjoying life a whole lot more, to be perfectly frank.
Mm.
Because I know you've been through a lot of shit, which has got nothing to do with psychiatric medicine or anything else. You've just lived life, and life can do that to people. I mean,
it kind of the medication kind of puts you in line. It's so that you just conform, really. And again, I go back to this whole idea of, you know, don't let the woman speak too much, or if she's making a noise or has an opinion. She should just like kittens and keep quiet.
Mm-hmm.
That's truly the source of where this all came from.
Yeah.
Oh my God, she's hysterical, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't, she's crying too much. She must stop crying so much.
When we were at school, there wasn't such a thing as ADHD, certainly not as a diagnosed condition for children at schools. It may have been something that was already in the scientific literature, but it wasn't something that had filtered down into teaching. Because a lot of teachers will use ADHD in a child or ADD in a child as an excuse for their bad teaching. A lot of parents will use it as an excuse for their bad parenting. Because I remember I was a very, very difficult child to keep entertained and busy. I was always bored.
You're a difficult adult.
No, I am. So I clearly, I'm an undiagnosed ADHD sufferer, right? Must be.
Sure. Look, get a vaccine.
No one's prescribed anything to me because I can't concentrate for more than 15 minutes without drifting off and being destructive and getting in the way of other people who are trying to be productive. That's what I've been all my life. And it's also the source of so much of the stuff that I like about myself.
Exactly. It's what makes you who you are.
Right.
But no, Gareth, you must concentrate and you mm-hmm. must be still in your mind mm-hmm. and, you know, just conform. It's a medicine.
F you. I've never. Yeah, exactly. Maybe just because my parents never ever sent me to a psychologist or decided that was necessary because I was a happy, healthy child who just needed a lot of stimulation. Maybe that's a good thing because I've ended up being a lot more in touch with my own ability. Like, I can concentrate, but it takes a lot of energy from me. I prefer to be all over the place, manic, darting from one thing to the next. Similarly with you. I mean, like, we all have a personality, right? We have a setting. Your setting might be towards what you said earlier. You know, being a little more kind of in your feelings, a bit more depressed some of the time, a bit more quiet, maybe even crying some of the time. You know, that sort of stuff is part of life. But no, it's not acceptable. Let's give you medicine to make you ordinary.
Mm. You must just you must be so normal that you can stand in a queue for bread for 4 hours without disturbing the peace.
Yeah. That's a whole different world. That's a whole different...
Such a depressing thought.
I've only seen it now, but it's like because I've been genetically gifted with. I don't have anxiety. I've never had that, but now people that I never realized were living in this world. Obviously, the last 2 years has just it's brought it to the surface. So, and like I'm not the guy. I'm not a hey, how you doing, guy. Like if I see you and you're close to me, great, let's carry on. But now that's coming out. I'm starting to see, holy smokes, more people need the, hey, how you doing, pal, kind of just message. And I'm not that guy, so I've done the work. Yes, here's my chance.
There we go. Yes, you got to use the line.
Because of COVID, it changed everything,
look,
and I've done the work.
I saw you pretty excited yesterday. I popped in at the office, and Bulelo showed me the new studio for Cliff Central Sport, which looks amazing, and he's going to be he'll be joining this show from there on Monday morning, and you'll get to see it on this show. It'll be very cool. And then obviously if you subscribe to Cliff Central Sport, you already know what it looks like, but it's amazing and it's worth
studio live from L'Oreal. Studio live.
Shout out the 90s and Leanne, great pull there. Shout out the 90s studio live.
I said I was painting last night and the night before, and I was listening on this. I've got this little speaker, which is amazing. The sound on this thing is incredible, and I connect it to my phone, and then I just turn on all kinds of really cool music, all sorts of stuff from like the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Now there's even a channel I was listening to live, which is so cool, and I was enjoying the music more than I was painting, even frankly. And that kind of shit brings me such joy. Like, you could leave me alone for days and I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I love it. you say 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and then you stopped. Is it just me, or do you also battle to distinguish between the noughties and the tens?
Yeah, if you give me a song.
I really do.
Yeah, you give me a song like anything from Justin Bieber to like Ariana Grande. I'm always like, did it start in the noughties, or did it start in the tens? And now, of course, we're into another decade, so we've got to have a name for this. This is the 20s, right? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know where that line is. Like, give me an artist from the end of the noughties, and then give me an artist from the beginning of the tens. It's really hard to figure which one falls on which side of the line.
Even any sort of popular culture, like fashion or you know, TV or movies, I can't really distinguish between them.
Here's an interesting point on our previous discussion, and we've got like 10 minutes before we have to get to the break at 7. Keenan says, good morning, team. This psycho shit is a rich, white, me issue. Poor people don't have mental shit. They just deal with it. I wonder how true that is, because it rings true. Some part of me is going, yes, that's true. Say it again, Keenan. Some part of me is totally on his page.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, if you are at a point where you are not functional, where you can't earn a living and you're just lying in bed all day, or you're...
Well, thanks to government, that's the reason people are sitting at home anyway. their fucking lockdowns have ruined people's lives. That's what they've done.
If you have this insurmountable road rage, or you're piling into your wife with your fists, you know, those sort of things need some medication. So there are cases, obviously.
But as
and Maslow kind of solved that for us, right? The closer you are to the bottom, the less the further you are away from. Because really, I need to worry about how I feel is a self-actualization issue. It's close. Uh-huh. It's very close to the top. Mm-hmm. If you're worried about getting a loaf of bread today, survival drives you to, hey, shut it all down. Who cares? We need to keep this thing running.
I mean, you, even in the physical, so mental health and physical health are more or less in the same wheelhouse. And if you're on the hunt for food in sort of prehistoric caveman times, and someone slices one of your fingers off with the assegai, you don't stop and start crying. You carry on with the hunt. You get the beast down, and you go, oh, shit. One of my fingers has been sliced, guys, because you don't have time to go, my finger's so sore. We've got to abandon the hunt, guys. Because if you don't finish the hunt and you don't get the animal, nobody eats, and everyone gets really, really miserable, and some die. So your little slice on your finger is just not a priority. So for physical health, you can ignore physical pain. You can deal with an enormous amount of physical duress. We don't understand that much these days, but people who've been to war, and people who've been tortured, and people who've gone through agonizing diseases and difficulties, those people will tell you, well, you know, physical pain, even if it's really, really, really bad, you can deal with it. And the same goes with mental health, I think. I'm just assuming. Again, I'm no expert on this front. But as Mbulelo says on that hierarchy, man, if your life is just an absolute pile of shit and you are living from hand to mouth every day and you're trying your best to eke out a survival, you don't have time to think about, well, you know, how do I identify and all that kind of shit. You don't have time. Nobody's giving you that luxury. And here are some more comments. I just want to go to Tracy. She says ADHD meds were only really developed in the late 90s, so our generation missed the boat. I think that's a good point. Then there's some more here. Try taking up arms against the ADD-ADHD battle for your children. It's like Provid-Vax parallel. Exhausting, says Ruth. Oof, I can imagine. Parenting now must be so goddamn hard, because everybody's trying to put your kids on medicine.
So complicated. Right?
And everyone wants to put your kid in a category. They want to diagnose your kid like there's something wrong with them, even if they're just a kid.
Oh, there's a special...
Go on, Bolelo.
There's so much information out there that it's like putting on a nappy could be harming your child. You know, there's some parents, you know, the Big Bang Theory?
Yes.
His wife, what was her name, Amy? Mm. The woman who plays her, she doesn't put nappies on her children. She believes that they should just shit in nature. She watches her babies, and when their posture changes and she knows they need a crap, she holds them over a bush and they just poo.
Oh, my God.
There's so many opinions about what you should be doing. I'm so glad I don't have to worry about that.
She just lets her kids just shit everywhere, like fertilizer spreading machines?
Yeah.
What did you want to say, Mbulelo?
No, I was going to say there is like a very, very tiny special sort of part of society who are the worst kind of what Leanne was talking about is being a mom's a full-time job types.
Yeah.
And their full-time job is to tell people how to raise their kids because they do nothing else except go to brunches and drop their kids off. But it's a full-time job. And then, Leanne, what you say, you know, and I heard from Dr. Steven Steen that give them this with that, and if you're not doing it,
Totally.
Like, you're not a doctor. Sally, I love you. And maybe it is hard being a mom, but you're not a doctor. Be quiet. And just raise your children like every other woman has since time immemorial.
I mean, I think this is a pretty good illustration of precisely this point. And I'm only going to read it because it's a meme someone sent me. I think we can conclude that the time out generation didn't produce as good a number of citizens as the ass-beating generation. And ain't that the truth?
Yeah. But... on a very boring note, I think, I like history as you do, as everybody else does.
Yeah.
I hope, is that the worst part, I've always argued with friends that will have this boring conversation with me, is that romanticism has created what we have now. You know, romanticism did something interesting to our psyches, it was the time when people say you don't get married to reproduce, you get married by picking your partner.
Yes.
Yes. People don't realize, and that's only like 150 years old. People think marriage for love has existed. Mm. No, it used to be for property and to copulate, right? Mm. And now, romanticism said, by saying that, what romanticism told us was, you're special. Mm. Because if you get to pick who you love, it means you're special.
You must be.
And obviously, this is the logical conclusion, because me is... this is where we went. And to all the romanticists out there, I wish the dinosaurs had lived in and around wherever you were born.
And I still think my prince will come. I have my eyes on the horizon.
Oh, Leanne, you always have, right? You've always believed. That's what I like about you.
Always. Yeah.
Sing your song. I know you want to.
You will come.
Someday my prince will come.
That's right. Oh my God, that's great. By the way, we got a complaint about you yesterday, Mbulelo. I think it has to do with what you said the other day about children in restaurants.
Let's hear it.
So this is from Anonymous. They say, why is it okay for people to discriminate against children, especially on your show? If Mbulelo doesn't like kids, he can move to a country without kids, or he can stay at home. What a childish...
They aren't countries.
What a childish
cunt. Which country doesn't have kids?
Look at this. They called you a childish cunt.
It's blank. Oh, no.
I'm okay with that. So I've already done one part of that. So I appreciate you there.
All right. So there we go.
So there's no kids. You're not allowed to have kids in the complex I live in. So yes. I do stay at home now. So I am already taking your advice, even though you've called me. See you next Tuesday, huh?
I love this because you actually are living this life already. I didn't even know there were complexes that were child-free. Well done to you for finding that. I mean, that's amazing.
No pets, no kids in my complex. So that person, already you wasted probably half of the text. You shouldn't have sent half the text because I'm already on it, pal, which makes me better than you. And the second part is, listen, I got no problem with kids. Is that all of us in life? I'm not a scientist, so I don't hang out in laboratories when they're trying to give us a vaccine for polio, right? Mm. I stay on the streets. Mm. What I'm saying is when I'm having a 400 rand steak at that type of restaurant, take your kids. There are restaurants for kids. I wouldn't take my nephews to nice restaurants because I know that they can't be controlled. I have no problem with kids. Like I have no problem with kids. They bring great energy.
But you must say it like this. You must add fuel to the fire. Say to Anonymous, I don't have a problem with kids. I have a problem with your kids.
Your child under control.
You know, I have always said this. Girlfriends and children are always better when they're somebody else's. Always. They're always better when they're somebody else's.
By the way, is your friend who has the chick who's tattooed him onto her arm, have you had any feedback from him or her? Have you heard anything new on that? We need an update. People are asking.
If we don't have to work this weekend, I will be seeing him this weekend, and I'll have some feedback hopefully on Monday. So, I mean, I've got two people, right? I got that guy in my life, and the other person.
Is he still alive? Do you know if he's alive though?
I spoke to him last night, so okay. I did have proof of life. It was a video call, but the other guy who was, you know, he was playing left wing, he's playing right wing now, and by that I mean he's got a full-time girlfriend. I remember I told you about a guy who was cheating on his lady again, and then he told me. So I've been ignoring him for 6 weeks, and now I've got his lady messaging me. I've ignored both of them. No, it's a whole situation. Oh. They know my mom, and it's a whole, and I'm in it now. Anyway, so I've put them on hold, and then I've got this guy getting tattoos. Do you know what? The victim. What did I do to deserve this? Like, what did I do?
You must choose better friends. That's what you need to do from now on.
You need responsibility. Well, you're right.
I always think.
You're right.
Every single problem any of us have ever had, including me and including people who are long dead and people who are yet to be born, you first look to yourself as the origin of your problem, and you first look to yourself as the solution to your problem. That's what we've learned in this hour. If nothing else, like everything from Ben with that tea cozy on his head to psych medication to having children and raising them properly, you may be the cause and the effect of all of your happiness and of your misery, and you have no one else to blame. Start there. I mean, if you're wrong, sure, prove me wrong. If you're wrong,
everything's your fault.
If you can prove to me that it's not your fault, conclusively prove that it's not your fault, then we can look for other options. But until then, it's you.
Everything's your fault. Like, that's really hard for people to hear. If you're an adult and you are living on this planet,
right,
everything that happens to you, right?
But what about God?
Economic class. Oh, yeah. Shout out G.O.D., by the way. And shout out Jesus. And also, nobody ever congratulates me. I don't think it's ever happened. I've outlived Jesus. Excuse me. He was 33. I'm 35 now. Shout out to me. Everything's your fault.
Nice.
All right, well done.
Everything's on your fault.
On that incredibly positive note, we're going to move on because we've got a hell of a day today. And by the way, we've got an interview coming up a little later in the show. A guy called Ian Golden. We'll put that on live this morning at 8 o'clock. I recorded it with him earlier this week. He's a very interesting man. He's a professor at Oxford. He's really one of those globalist academic types. So, you know, he and I had a lot of points that we stuck on and we didn't agree on. You're going to like that. If you like a bit of a fight, he's your guy. So that's coming up a bit later. Ian Golden at 8 o'clock this morning. Brand new, fresh content. We recorded it this week, and you get to hear it first on CliffCentral.com. Leanne, Bulelo, Gareth, and all the good stuff coming to you in the next hour. CliffCentral.com.